In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Fried. So good to be here with you, Kay. How are you? What do you think? How do you feel? Our part one of the finale has concluded after we went to overtime for some unknown reason. How you feeling
weird
after overall with last night's episode?
Honestly, that was pretty anticlimactic. The whole Jesse thing last week with him being in the studio and making this crazy announcement, I thought it was going to be bigger. Like, truly, I thought it was going to be bigger.
Literally, Jorge and I just had this conversation, and I think you're exactly right. Jesse set this episode up for failure. We're fans of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, like whether we like to admit it or not. Like, we're going to be here next week. We haven't come this far to go this far. You know, we're going to tune in. I don't know if he's trying to drum up extra viewers, but like, I think the show is worse off for what he did, because Chris Harrison, I know, you know, Voldemort, we can't mention his name anymore, but he did the tongue in cheek. The most dramatic ending ever. And you knew it was, he never pushed it. It was a joke.
He never like leaned into it too much. He would always say it. And then he like, there was kind of like a wink and a nudge.
Right. And then there was like, you know, and you knew there was going to be drama just because the show exists because drama exists. But Jesse Palmer, like it was the boy who cried drama. It was frustrating because you're like, okay, what's he getting at? You know, like, what's this thing we're going to find out? Like, and then we find out legitimately
nothing.
Yeah, it was annoying. It is the ultimate, you have to undersell, overdeliver. This was the ultimate oversell, underdeliver. And I think, because it wasn't like, everyone's saying like, it's a horrible episode. I got, you know, people DMing the worst. Oh, well, waste of my time. I don't know if it was that. I don't think it was
that. Oh, I don't think it was horrible. I thought it was a good episode.
It was fine. It was The Bachelorette. That's what it was.
Yeah. But I just need to, like you said earlier, what was the play here? Was it producers or whoever's doing this trying to get more viewers? Or is it,
right?
Like what is, who told him to do this and why?
And don't piss off Your OKPs, your original key players. Don't make us feel stupid. I don't care.
Yeah, I felt dumb.
Right. You bring in someone new and they go, well, this show stinks. All right, get out of here. We all love it. You know, like there's someone in middle America out there, wherever in this country, that was like, we got to get together next week. We got to have a party. Like, he says it's going to be crazy. And then they're sitting there like, thanks a lot, Lauren. You made us come here for nothing. And Lauren's
sitting
there
being like,
she brought
her cheese board.
Right. She put out the good wine. And Lauren's sitting there being like, Jesse. You know, she's angry at Jesse Palmer. And it's like, I am too. If I see, you know, I see him sometimes. I've seen him.
No.
He will walk his dog on the West Side Highway every now and again. I've seen him with his now wife. Big dude. Like,
I'm desperate to know what kind of dog he has. What kind of
big dog?
He has.
Big dude.
Yeah.
Big wife. She's tall. Not like, you know, like she's tall. Like they are a couple of elm trees. I was surprised because he was a quarterback. Quarterbacks aren't usually like, but he's thick.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, that's.
I mean, I don't know anything about quarterback bodies.
That's all I do is I just Google quarterback bodies and I, you know, check them out.
And watch
The Bachelor.
It's balance.
That's what my bros and I do. We discuss. I mean, I have had like discuss, you know, I just saw when Jesse walked away, his back, I was like, that's a back. That's a big old back. So I so respect to Jesse Palmer, except I'm mad at him. If I see him, I'm gonna be like, dude, what's the play?
What is the game plan?
That would literally be our interaction. I'd be working because I work out on the West Side Highway. If I saw him, I'd stop everything. I'd be like, Jesse, what are we doing? What's the plan here? You gonna pump us up for nothing?
Fill me in between us.
Right.
Between bros.
Between bros. What's your workout routine? How'd you get so thick? And
what's going on with The Bachelor?
And what's going on with The Bachelor? Those are my two questions. So, yeah, I think it is interesting. We're on separate coasts, and we thought the same exact thing. It is, and yeah. I'm sure our listeners, if we're thinking it, the listeners are thinking it. But we had, you know, I'm excited. Let's get into the episode. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Let's do it.
We pick up where we left off with Zach pulling Rachel aside, which turns into him sending himself home.
Avon meets Rachel's family and wins over Big Tony, but still gets sent home.
Grandpa John is back and happy to see Eric and Gabby again.
Rachel brings Tino home to meet her family, and he seemed to forget everything he was going to say.
Oh my God, he did. I can't wait to talk about that.
Absolutely.
All right, what did you name the episode?
Well, I think I just said it. I had a name before, but I said something. The boy who cried drama.
Oh, I like that.
I guess it would be the Jesse that cried drama.
The Jesse who cried drama
would be a better title for the episode. I also had engagement or bust in respect to kind of Rachel and Gabby looking for answers for engagement. But I'm going to go with the Jesse who cried drama. What do you got better?
I did engagement ultimatum. I also had as like a backup, but I wasn't sure if it would play well. And none for Gabby and Rachel, sort of like a none for Gretchen Wieners. But I wasn't sure if that was going to read. So I went with
it took
engagement
a second,
ultimatum.
Yeah, that would seem to, the theme was underwhelmed and engagements. Those were kind of the themes of last night's episode. But let's start from the beginning. Rachel and Zach, what did you think? Let's talk about it. We start the episode from the studio audience, as I lovingly call the studio audience, the dome of the undateables, the most single people in America come together to one studio audience to cheer on love. And it's my favorite thing in the world. I love the audience reactions.
I told my two friends who always watch with me, Chelsea and McKenna, about that last night, and they died.
It's a joke. I've had people get mad at me for that joke, but I'm like, obviously, I don't think these are. And then some people were like, there's that person, I know them, they're married. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure. Okay, stop.
Listen, meet me in the Dome of Undateables. I'll be there, like, dying to go.
I'm there too. Yeah, I'd love it. I mean, also, no one knocks during a knock-knock joke. I don't know if anyone knew that, but
I didn't realize that it was filmed live. I didn't know that this was live.
But that was the other thing. I mean, that was why I thought, oh, things are going down. Like, that made me even more think when you tape live and then you go, we're going to get some. And you could tell Jesse was angling. He was trying to stir the pot a little bit. He tried. It didn't work, though. There wasn't much to work with. But what did you think? So they go back to the rose ceremony. Zach pulls Rachel aside. Mm-hmm. And what did you think of that conversation?
I mean, I always think I think it's Zach's voice and just the way he articulates things. But it felt so like scripted. Obviously, he was telling her, he was like, I just feel like I didn't get to know you in that fantasy suite. And you were playing The Bachelorette. And Rachel seemed caught off guard, but not really. When Zach left, Rachel didn't give a fuck.
It didn't seem like it.
I mean, phaze her at all.
It was like watching, it's funny, like when someone comes to you and is like, yeah, we mutually broke up. That was watching how a mutual breakup goes. One person cares and the other one says we mutual break up. Because that was they did seem to agree. We will mutually agree we should part. But it felt like Zach dumping himself while Rachel said, okay, yeah, we should mutually agree.
She was like, okay, anyways, rose ceremony.
Yeah, that
I
was.
I mean, didn't cry, didn't like put up a fight.
No, didn't she? I mean, this is someone who says she cries at everything. Didn't she turn? She goes, that was sad. Like, didn't she like, it was very like Cruella de Vil. Like,
that's upsetting.
Yeah. It's like,
she was in her feelings like Johnny. Johnny was upset. She was upset. Everybody's just upset.
Everyone's
just. She really.
Yeah.
Didn't care. That was, that I was surprised.
But this is what, you know, we start with what we see and then we kind of move into theories, you know, as we do with this show. And everyone has their theories. Here's my theory is, and it kind of makes me not like Rachel, you know, if I'm going to have my flow chart, my Rachel index of how much I like Rachel versus, you know, in a viewer sense, what seemed to have happened based on their conversation, what they said out loud is that they went to the fantasy suite, the cameras go away, and Rachel had basically already decided this isn't going to be the one.
I think she got the ick when she was in the fantasy suites. And then he also, I think you call it the oof. I was at your show.
Very different. These are different noises.
But I think, yeah, they're different noises. Yeah. But I think they both, because I think all of us have been there where even if it's not like a sleepover date or whatever, but it could even just be a first date where you meet up with them and immediately it's like, oh, this isn't it. And then you have to sit through the whole date and you're not feeling it. And so everything just gets worse and worse and you get more annoyed.
I'm with you 1,000%, but this also proves to me Rachel's immaturity. Mm-hmm. Because to me, you get the ick, you know, you're not going to like be physical with this guy, which is fine, you know, of course. And you know, you're not going to marry this guy and he's the one you're sending home based on, you know, send him home that night. Don't sleep in the same room. You know, Jason left the room. They wake up the next morning, you know, bed made, plates outside. You know, they go to Jason left last night. We get the update. The same, and that shows me Gabby is a, you know, Gabby, Jason have some sort of maturity. I'm just saying these are, again, I'm making assumptions based on what we watched, but
sure.
To make someone who you have the ick for and you're like, and he obviously does not have the ick. You know, the way he's explaining, he's going, it just felt like you changed. Yeah, she didn't like him anymore. It was over for her. Mm-hmm. And then you make him stay the night and you're going to talk about the beans and the coffee. And it's like, it becomes very apparent based on this interaction and what we see the rest of the episode. Rachel is very worried about how she looks to the public, it seems.
Yeah.
She's very worried about looking like maybe the bad guy or just being, because the uncomfortable truth is, hey, you got to go home. And I'll figure out how to explain this to the cameras, the producers tomorrow. And it's not going to be an easy thing to explain. Why'd he leave last night? And it goes to Rachel's kind of need for the engagement that persists. I don't think Rachel looked good necessarily to the viewer, to me, but I give her empathy because I understand there is social embarrassment in a different way for a woman to walk away and without an engagement, societally. I'll give her empathy on that. So, but that also made her look bad because it felt like she was keeping up appearances. And that's what happened. You know, to spend a night with someone you don't want to, you know, even be in bed with.
And it also feels like based on what he was saying to Jesse about, you know, she was asking me all these questions about like, are you sure you're ready? Sort of pushing him away.
Yes.
So it seems like the conversations they had that night were very stupid to the point where it's like, why are we talking about this? Like, I clearly am sure I'm here, but she's trying to push him away to make the breakup easier or to hope in hopes that he'll leave or in hopes that he'll send himself home.
That's the immaturity showing through, which listen, raise your hand if you've done this before. Me.
Oh my God.
You know, so the idea that I'm not saying I'm better than Rachel, but she handled it. Like I'm watching Rachel on screen and just like you're saying, it felt like she was trying to get, Jordana talks about this all the time, getting the person to dump themselves. It felt like she tried to get Zach to dump himself.
And
she achieved it. she, you know, she's the worst actress of all time. She's like, oh, you know, her eyes go really wide when she gets what she wants, kind of. And, you know, Zach is, and Zach is tough to buy also as an actor. He looked like he went to the David Putty School of Acting. Because of his voice, I agree. He just comes off cheesy. He's like a walking, breathing, you know, it's as if a magician, you know, it's as if a magician turned a Abercrombie and Fitch mannequin into a real man and forgot to put a personality in there. Like, it's like, really? Like, I'll give you all the powers of a man and none of the funny, you know?
The whole thing. And then he came back. So when he came back to the studio and they met in person,
hey.
Zach taking the words out of my mouth, that was tough. He said that was tough like 20 times. And that's how I knew. I was like, oh, she got the ick. And they felt forced to stay together throughout the entire night. And nothing, there's no amount of time that is longer than that. But also, how awful for her, or like to, I would feel really dumb. Like, if he kept saying, oh, it's just so hard to stay at, like, that fantasy suite was tough. It was really tough. I mean, we did like.
Well, she did it to herself too.
I know she did it to herself.
You're in charge. Send him home. It's time. It's over.
She kept saying, don't apologize. It's fine. It's fine. And I think she was just hoping that he would shut the fuck up and stop talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Rachel's problem is that she's going to be compared to Gabby no matter what. Yeah. Again, Gabby, Jason, get out of here. You know, I'm not going to sleep next to someone. Becoming 30 is enjoying your own bed and knowing when you want your own bed. You know, like, this is like, it did feel like age was showing through because, also to go back to, you know, things that Rachel said to Zach, you're 25, are you sure? And she's 26. Like, right? Like, all these things don't make sense until they make total sense. And the conversation between Zach and Rachel, it might have been the most boring part of The Bachelor I've ever watched in my entire life. They had the sexual chemistry of two people, you know, running into each other at a Chase Bank. It was horrible. Like, I just couldn't. So.
And it was pointless. And she didn't, with any of the guys, there was no, you should have, I wish. It was all just like, it's fine.
You're amazing.
She's trying to like just get it over with, because I think we'll get to this, like, we'll see it more later. But I think Rachel watching herself back is realizing, oh, I didn't handle this well. Did you see her face the entire time during the show? I mean, whether she was like watching herself, or especially the end with Jesse and Gabby, when Jesse's like, come back next week. And she looks miserable. I mean, she's like, get me off the stage. I'm unhappy. Like, fake smiling, not even smiling half the time. I think she's just realizing, oh shit, that looked bad.
It looked bad. She looked kind of like a brat. You and I, we get the DMs. We get like a little taste of what people are saying. I was with everyone. I'm like, I can't cheer for Rachel. She wants the ring. That's all she cares about. And then like, I thought about it today and I was like, I do understand where she's coming from, where I understand where there's a fear of failure, of embarrassment. This idea that, you know, if you're not got engaged, you're losing, which don't agree with, but I'm saying you could see, I'm giving her a little, the leeway, because you have to admit that that is in the atmosphere. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn
heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Shiroza 62 Perfume Mist and Shiroza 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Shiroza 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Shiroza 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you are a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves, and it's designed to work with your body and not against it. You won't have to worry about it rolling down thanks to the flexible boning that is hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
We go on to
Avon.
Avon. So Avon comes over to the family. And he meets with, you know, we see Rachel's family, Tony and the mom who never blinks. And
never. I mean, Avon, that was the most personality we've seen out of him.
Right.
This entire season. Every
Absolutely.
Time Rachel's dad would ask a question, Avon would start it off with like a really big smile, which I had never. I was like, oh, my God, look how nice his teeth are.
Yeah.
I was like, he has a great smile. We have never seen that.
It's why it was so surprising how hard he kind of flubbed the friend meeting. And I at first I thought it was her brother and
I
sister.
Did too. I thought it was brother and sister.
Yeah, it's just her friends. And
they did a lot.
Well, you know what? It was interesting because I was like, you know, again, I'm offering Rachel empathy for why she looked like I need her, you know, why she turned into Gollum with the ring. But I got to offer Avon the same type of empathy. It seems you ask questions sometimes. You're going to get answers to the questions you ask.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me that Rachel asked questions that she would get the best answer for. So could you see yourself getting engaged is different than the friends going, she wants an engagement. Are you going to do that? So I could see why Avon, you know, the whole drama that ensues where Rachel's going, you told me one thing. Now you're telling my friends another. And that's embarrassing to me. You go, yeah, well, that's Avon is answering, you know, in a court
of
law.
The questions that they were giving. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, why would he say to the friends so differently than her? Because they're being asked in different ways. And if someone says, could you see yourself getting engaged after the show? Well, of course I could. And Avon believes that. I do believe he believes that.
Yeah, I think he believes that too.
Right?
100%.
And I looked at Avon and you're like, and Jorge said this before, like when we were talking before we started taping, he had to like walk such a fine line.
Yeah, and it seemed like at moments, it seemed like he kept going back and forth on his answer on whether...
But what could that answer be?
You know, what is the answer?
I kept thinking, I was like, I'm putting myself in his position and I'm going, okay, he's like, I like her. I want to date her. I could see engagement coming. I'm not doing it after 2 weeks of knowing her.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there going, well, tell me you're going to get engaged or you're out of here. And that's the part where she starts to look bad because she starts to look like, what is it, Veruca Salt?
Yeah.
from Willy Wonka. I want a ring now. You know, like it felt. And then they start having a discussion, which from as a viewer point of view, I'm like, this is a real discussion. And then she goes, why are you yelling at me? I'm like, oh, Rachel,
no. I know that was
you're like, a pain in the fucking ass. That's what I kept thinking. I know that's not right. It doesn't sound good, but I was like, I couldn't. It was so hard to take because Rachel is right. If you've led me to believe an engagement is coming, this is what I want. But I couldn't help but sit there and go, Avon, bro, you're get out of this. She can't have real discussions with you.
I think you were right at the beginning. I think she was just embarrassed. I think she was embarrassed of the, you know, I would be horrified if I was like, mom and dad, this is the guy. Like, we want to get engaged. Like, and then he's actually like, yeah, I don't know. And gives the opposite answer to my parents. And then people are telling me, oh, no, he actually doesn't. So I think she's embarrassed because also when they were talking, yes, we knew it was about an engagement at the end, but she stopped saying, I want to be engaged at the end of this and was just like, I thought we were on the same page. So she's trying to lean into the more of the fact that he wasn't saying to her parents that he wanted to get engaged to her, but I think she was trying to hide the fact that she's like, I just want a ring. Like, this is what I want. This is what I want. And trying to hide the mask that, give me a ring now, and leaning more into the embarrassment of it all.
Well, it kind of reminded me of like when two people are like, yeah, we're casual. And we're casually hooking up. And then if you took two people aside, if two people could look at each other and be like, this is a casual hookup. And then you could take one person in one room and another person in the other room and go, what is that? Write down the definition of casual hookup. And one person would be like, well, we go out every night and, you know, and we cuddle and, you know, they're not hooking up with anyone else. The other person's like, I meet up when it's convenient for me. And you go, and then that's what it felt like they were kind of fighting here. It's like, because again, I do believe people ask questions with the answer that could come easiest to them. So I don't think Rachel ever wanted to hear, I don't want to get engaged after this process. I do think Rachel wanted to hear, I could be engaged at the end of this process. Those are two different answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think when she's like same page, it's a discussion of like, oh, we have to really hash out what the definition of the end of this show means.
Yes. Yes.
It was an interest. I thought that was the most interesting part of the episode. I'm almost upset they like made it the first part. Like, to me, everything else was like, you know, we're going to get into all this, not to, you know, bury the rest of this podcast. I think there's stuff to discuss. But it's like, you know, when she said, why are you yelling at me? I was like, oh, man.
That's tough. I was like, nobody's yelling. The internet, oh, my God, Twitter was on fire last night.
Right. I mean, yeah, people are really anti-Rachel. This is why I'm trying to give her societal benefit of the doubt. Again, the embarrassment factor, and that's something when you're 26, you care more about what other people think than maybe what you even want. And I've been there. I understand it. And it seems like Rachel fell prey to that. So we go on to Eric with Gabby's family. What did you think of Gabby's family dynamic? It's a little bizarre, don't you think?
It was interesting.
I don't know who's with who and what's with what.
So this is what I think it is. We have Grandpa John.
Yep.
And I think Grandpa John is the dad to her dad who was there. I think that was her dad and her like stepmom.
Okay, And then
that's her dad and her stepmom. And then I think the other blonde woman was her mother's sister.
Really?
I think it was her aunt. I mean, I'm not positive.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was the dad's sister or the mother's sister.
I think it could have been the mother's sister because the way they were talking about the mom situation, it felt like she was speaking on behalf. She was like, you know what? It isn't okay how she treated you.
Right.
And I think it was like, because if it weren't her actual sister, she'd have been like, fuck that bitch. But she was like, no, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I love that.
She was with her words.
Right. That conversation.
But in support of Gabby.
Yeah. I Grandpa John is lovable. And also, like, weirdly, Grandpa John is the most okay with the dynamic of this show. Like,
yeah,
he's the oldest. I think he's there.
Like, you know what? Let's go. Like, I trust her. Let's fuck around. See what happens.
Right. Like, you look at Tino's dad. Tony's like this kind of weird, like, you know, giving Tony a cigar because men got to be men. Everyone is bizarre. And Grandpa John just like, it seems like he's like, it's just the way he talks about the show. I'm like, yeah, he understands an engagement could happen. It could be a nice guy for like, it's just very measured and mm-hmm. like he's based in reality.
He's like, let's just go, I guess.
Right.
But what's because at the end of the day, this is a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And just because people get engaged all the time and it doesn't work out. And I know an engagement's a big thing, but is it that big of a thing to where it's like, I can only have one?
Right,
like
right.
I can only be, you know what? Who cares? We have to like bring it back a little bit. And I think he gets it.
I guess that's the beauty of being a grandpa too. Like that's part, you know, they're your kids, but you don't have to deal with them, you know? So like, you know, I can understand where a dad's like, this could mess up my whole life dynamic.
Yeah.
And this, you know, where the grandpa's like, get them toys, you know, like spoil them rotten. You know, it just, I don't know. He came off the best, in my opinion. It was, you know, her dad didn't say much. The dad's girlfriend was annoying. I thought
she was like, yep, great. Well, that's good.
Right.
She was I love that you love her.
Right. She was like weirdly judgmental without, you know, like passive aggressive. There was one thing when Gabby walks in, the first thing, like if I'm the girlfriend or the stepmom, let's say she's a stepmom, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm staying back. I'm laying back. I'm in very
out of it.
Yeah. Nodding and stuff. She comes in hot. She goes, so how many suitors do you have? And it's like,
I know
one.
She called them
I have
suitors
one left.
And I almost fainted.
Like, no, how about you shut up, Lauren? It's, you know, I have nobody. Everyone left me. Like, they all dumped me. Is that what you want to hear?
It's like, actually, though.
Right. It was so. And then she said, like, something like it did feel like Gabby didn't know anyone except Grandpa John.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, like she's like, it was just a little awkward.
That's why it was hard for us to figure out who was who, because the only real connection we had was Grandpa John. And I think we saw Gabby's dad at the end of Clayton's season during their hometown. Like it was like the very last second he like surprised her or something.
Oh,
but
I mean, you couldn't have.
I don't remember what he looked like, but I do remember he was there.
There was a COVID thing where he was sick. With the signs.
Like, uh-huh.
Yes. He had the signs up from Love Actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I know. I know. But it was interesting that, you know, Grandpa Joe also has met Eric before. They went on that
date.
Way
back.
So.
He referenced the bowling date. He mm-hmm. made a joke about the bowling. It all seemed kosher to me.
There was one part, though, where her dad said to Eric, they were talking, it was her stepmom and her dad were talking to Eric, and they go, you know, how does it, I'm sure it feels good to be the one that she chose, and she sent, you know, sending the other people home. Mm. And it's like, no, he's the only one like left. Like that's not, because he was like, she only wanted us to meet you. And that's what they were saying, is like, she only wanted us to meet you, so I'm sure that feels good. And it's like, but I still don't think he knows that the other guys were like sent themselves home, but like left because of other reasons.
Yeah, I don't think he knows either. And also it is like one of those things of like the parents trying to help and being so obvious that it's actually not helping.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't it great? You're the last, she chose you.
Yeah.
It's like, All right, chill out, okay? Everyone just shut up.
I know.
Like, don't ruin this for me. They all left. We don't have to acknowledge it.
I know. Yeah, I don't think he knows yet.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
We go to Rachel's family with Tino. Tino folded like a cardboard box. Wow.
That was bad. That was bad.
He was nervous. It looked like he had never met parents before. Maybe he was nervous because of his own parents being so cold to Rachel when she met his.
But it was. I mean, he couldn't answer any questions. They were like, so you and Rachel really... are falling in love with each other. And he was just like, yeah.
Right.
That was right. There was no, and he was, and it seemed like he was, the way he was answering these things, they were like, so what do you, I think it was like a question of like, what do you guys have in common? He goes, well, I'm just really excited to, you know, pick up new things together.
Right.
And what yes. things?
Right. And it's like, so you're just into her, no idea what she likes, nothing.
No.
Yeah. We're going to figure out new stuff. it did feel, it was a little off. He doesn't strike me as much to say either. Like, Avon was like so impressive.
So impressive. Avon nailed it. Honestly, yeah. Other than the fact that he, the questions were answered differently than with Rachel, whatever.
That's an actual conversation. Tony asks Rachel, what type of buildings? Does he build residential or does he build office buildings?
Commercial, and
Rachel
goes,
yes. He builds all of them. Like, what? You don't know. It sounds like you don't know what the fuck he does.
No. Which proves more that Rachel is more in love with an engagement than she is with any of these men. And that Tino is here just to win. Like,
right.
There's no, like, this whole conversation, this whole meeting the family solidified the fact that Tino is just in it to win and doesn't actually care about.
Especially when they bring up the family. Like, they bring up, you know, well, the family comes up. The mom is like, so, you know, it's hard when the families don't, you know, really like or, you know, don't, you know, aren't in favor. And he's like, they're going to like whatever I like. And it's like, dude,
he's so smug.
That is a massive overstatement. You have like, and again, you don't know what you don't know. And maybe he believes what he says, but it's not really taking into account how difficult relationships are. Like, it's just like you've met. It just didn't seem to live in the land of reality. But this also leads to the immaturity thing. And something I want to go back to is, you know, Rachel, when she first walks in, she says, well, Tino's parents hate me.
Yeah.
Don't like me.
That was
black
the first thing she said.
The first thing. And to me, that's an immature way to explain that story. That is just not, that is to me, that says everything to me about Rachel, to me, mm-hmm. and her maturity level, because you're sitting with your, and her mom even says to her, her mom looks her in the eye and goes, is that what they said? Or is that how you felt? You know, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, are you sure?
Right. It's like, you know, Rachel explained it as if she walked in the house and they're like, get the hell out, you whore. Like that's not what happened at all. It was uncomfortable. We all felt it. But, you know,
yeah.
you're not exactly telling us the story. And again, editing, we don't know what she was told. Hey, just say they didn't like you so we can get to that. We don't know, but I it just, the way you tell, you, there's another way to tell that story where it's like, hey, I didn't really feel like I was beloved like the other families. They were questioning me. They didn't trust the process of the show. There's so many other ways to say it that aren't, his parents don't like me. And it's like, Rachel, are you five?
And it's, you know? Setting, it's, and I can't help to think, this is something that I think about all the times, the fact that they are being recorded. This will be played back. Everything has receipts. So again, just like with the Eric being the only one left.
Right.
Versus being the guys sending themselves home versus her sending the guys home. This is what, now Tino's parents are seeing you just dive into the fact that, like, yeah, they don't like me. They don't like me. And it's so they're watching this. We know Tino's dad is on Facebook just like going for it. So
the Tino's,
I mean,
did we talk about Tino's dad's face? We mentioned it.
We mentioned it, but we didn't really get into
it. We didn't read it though.
No.
It is wild. If you guys can find Tino's dad's Facebook posts, he's like snarky. And he, it is very dad on Facebook, thinking he's giving off a tone that is not really matching the tone that you read it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yes.
It's like a sarcasm, but like it doesn't really
land.
Yeah. Do we have it?
I have it. It's in our text.
Maybe we could read some favorites from it. Because it is like actually wild. So it was sent to me over DM, but here's allegedly, that Tino's dad wrote on Facebook. Okay, because Bachelor Nation fans asked, here's my tell-all. And then he writes, 1 through 10, 1. I'm 5'6", and a gentleman's 5'6" at that. Okay, so he's poking fun at, I'm short, but I'm not that short. 2, no, I have never dyed my hair. Look closely, you can see the gray. Okay. 3, no, I do not have a comb over, and it's not a rug either. Okay, so this guy is on the internet.
He's watching. Hours.
4. No, I am not the same age as Tino, as a few tweets suggested. Oh, now he's talking about how young he looks.
Referencing Twitter. This guy is like, right. he's giving Barb energy. Pete's mom.
I mean, he is Barb 2.0. He is boomer, too. Can't be old. He's got to mention that he looks good. 5, we are Mexican, not Italian, though media keeps saying Italian. If he really is Italian, it's news to me. And then I'd be asking really tough questions. Okay. So now he's making the joke that he's the milkman's kid. Yeah. This is the most boomer post I've ever seen.
Ever.
Tino is 6. Tino is amazing. He supported our son's cancer recovery, volunteers to the cause to this day, and volunteers countless hours. Okay, backing up his son, we can all agree with that. And it sounds like Tino does some very nice things for his brother. That's fantastic.
I'm dying at this next one.
7. Sandy is spelled Sandy, not Sandy. So Sandy with an I, not with a Y. Okay, so now he's the grammar police.
Oh, my God.
8, there are no vampires in our family. I don't even know what that means. 9, Sandy has more than one dress. Seriously. And who notices that in a photo? So I guess someone noticed that she's in the same dress.
Nowhere is safe.
And finally, 10, I am too young and too tall to be part of the Lollipop Guild and the Wizard of Oz. I mean, is there an older reference? Nor have I ever been aboard the Starship Enterprise, but I do share a Jewish heritage with Spock.
What the fuck?
Well, my fellow Jewish friend, Tino's dad, I commend you, because it does seem like he is playing along in a way. He defended himself, I guess, with some snark. He admitted to the things he's hearing on the internet, which aren't, you know, it's never pleasant to hear people say you look like you have a comb over, you know, like whatever.
But it's just strange. And then I sent you one other
strange
thing. Amy forwarded this to me. This was the other post.
Okay, you want to read it?
Yeah, so
Oh, he's getting upset.
is, and it's one of those Facebook reactions, is feeling cool with the smiley face and sunglasses.
He is doing the dad thing of using Facebook to all of its benefits. He's using everything on Facebook. Mm-hmm. the how are you feeling? Yeah.
The whole thing. And then I love that he, in both posts, he's referred to Bachelor Nation in one word, but with no hashtag. So like, right, as if it is one word always. Bachelor Nation will be sorry when they won't have me to kick around. And so will Sam Rubin. Big Tony.
Who's Sam Rubin?
I don't know.
It's just some guy on Twitter. He's literally calling out one guy. He's probably been tweeting at him all day.
I don't know who Sam Rubin is. And then he goes, Big Tony, you'll have to wait your turn. Watch The Bachelorette tonight at 8 for the yawn. Most shocking finale ever. Just part one. So glad it's almost over. Like, what?
Oh, this guy's a character.
I mean, he's advertising. He thinks he's like the star of the show.
He has lost himself.
Yes.
They say, I bring this up all the time. I bring this up all the time. And I'm a broken record with it, but I think it's so important to living in 2022. Your brain is affected the same way with 10,000 followers as it is with 10 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your brain is affected. So, you know, this guy, Sam Rubin, whoever the fuck that is,
I need to look
who tweeted at him, like, it's like a lot of you have been asking when it's five people. You know, it's so you go,
oh, Sam Rubin, he's a journalist.
Okay.
On Twitter. He talks about...
He probably, you know, told the world what this guy does for a living or something. Or, wow, you know, whatever it might be. But I'm saying this is someone who isn't used to getting, you know, your mentions blown up. And I'm sure... And Bachelor Nation is wild and is very internet, you know, stalkery. So yes, they went and found his Facebook profile, went through probably everything. You know, it becomes it's a snowball effect. So I do understand why he's lashing out, but it is so...
Yeah, I mean, that the Bachelor Nation fans, they will literally leave no stone unturned.
They'll find you.
They'll especially find you. If you they'll come find on everything looking, if, you've especially done if you come in on your past.
If you come on in your Star Trek uniform and your comb over and you start being... You know, cold to one of the one of the beautiful contestants' leads. Yeah, people are gonna try and get you a little bit, but I don't like that. You know, you don't like to hear that. But I actually, his post is somewhat heartwarming to me.
I know. I kind of love it. I love right. watching him just like, but it's funny. He's like, you know, advertising it, but in such a way that he's like, everybody's watching this.
Right.
Like everybody, the world they're is waiting watching. For this post.
Yes. This is the Super Bowl.
He called Bachelor Data a nerd.
He called Bachelor Data a nerd?
No.
That's a friend of the pod, a fop. Bachelor Data, who's been on the show.
That's wow. a rich
hilarious.
Insult.
So hold on. So we got to go back. We got to finish out this recap of the show. So Tino, we went through Tino. Rachel and Avon have their big meeting on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's all compliments. It's all.
And Avon apologizing. Man, if I have to, I'm watching him. He's like, I'm sorry. I should have handled it different. Jesse's like, do you have any regrets? He goes, yeah. I mean, it's just Avon apologizing. And you can tell, again, Rachel's like, it's okay. It's okay. Like
right.
trying to get it over with, because I think she's seeing this for the first time herself.
Yeah.
And so she's seeing how it all looks from like an outsider's perspective. And I think she's super regretting how she handled it.
Well, I agree with you. And I also think the Clayton thing hovers over this. She used the Clayton thing to put people in a position that she thought would be unlosable. Like she would never lose. And you have Avon who's apologizing, who's going, get me out of this. It seems like Avon's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the good guy no matter what. I'll apologize to you whether I believe it or not. You know, I do believe, I don't think Avon, to me, it doesn't seem as though Avon, especially based on her reaction, that Avon was like, yeah, I'll get engaged so that he could have sex with her.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like that at all. So
no.
It feels like there is some sort of gray between Avon's side of the story and Rachel's side of the story that the truth lies in. And Rachel didn't, what Rachel did was put herself in a position where you disagree with me, you're evil. Because again, one person wants to be engaged and another person isn't sure. We're always going to take the side of the person who wants to be engaged. Oh, they want love. You don't want love. All of us want love. We're all single. We're all trying to find love. It's being served to you on a platter from a beautiful woman. What's Avon going to say? Now, I'm not sure. Now, he's always going to look worse than her. So mm-hmm. he's like, always. I'm going to apologize. Fuck it.
You know.
So then we have the Gabby and Eric drama. What did you think of that? It felt produced a little bit.
It felt produced and... I hated watching Gabby get upset over the engagement because I was so tired after watching Rachel throw this temper tantrum over not getting a ring or at the end that I was just like, Gabby, don't do it. I was like, don't do it. You know, I mean, both of these guys, he was like, I see my life with you. I was like, I just don't know if I want to. He's like, I want to date you. And like the second he says that, she shuts down. I think there was something that he said when she was like sitting on his lap and he was like, you know, I think it's time for us to figure out like what we're actually going to do at the end of this. And she was
right.
Like, huh?
You could see, I mean, Gabby wears it on her face.
Yeah. Oh, there was no hiding it. She turned off
when mm-hmm. he said that. And then
they went to another room.
Right. And then Gabby, she also does this thing when she hugs him, she'll just like collapse like she's one of those like dolls that are held up by a string. Yeah. But I guess the difference between Gabby and Rachel to me was Gabby kept making the non-engagement about how she's never been chosen.
Yeah.
Like she feels like she's always convincing people into
choosing
her. And that's where you go, that's like a more like lovable storyline than I want the ring now. You said you'd get engaged. You know, like that's a more, position that I can go. Yeah, it wasn't even to me when I watched it. I wasn't like, I don't think she's mad at Eric. Like it felt like she was just mad at the plight that she seems to continuously go through.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think she wanted the ring. I think she wanted the ring, and I think it's and she also, I think that is a part of it about not being chosen. She's in her 30s now. Like, I get that, but she's basing worthiness on a diamond.
Yeah, but I guess that's the nature of this show. You are put in a position where you have to hear truths that you would never have to hear. If I was in a relationship and I was like, I'm going to get engaged to this person, then I was like looking at the calendar, I go, oh, I can do it this week or I can do it in 2 months. And then I choose for 2 months from now.
Yeah.
I'm still the guy getting engaged. No one gives a fuck. You know, like, you know, in this scenario, which this is the ecosystem with which we live. So, you know, I don't blame someone, you know, I guess Rachel just looked bad doing it, but I can't blame them for feeling turned down when someone's like, yeah, no thank you, Neil Lane. You know, like, I'll get the ring on my own. I'll spend the 50 grand on my own. Like, you go, is that how much you're not sure about me? Like, you have to actually measure it in the cup. It's, you know, it's the difference between how much do you weigh and put yourself on the scale. You know, like
dead ass. And it's like,
right.
How much do you weigh and put yourself on the scale?
You know, that. And then, and so I understand when someone asks you how much you weigh, you say the number you think. Get on the scale. Ow, easy.
I thought you trusted me.
Right.
Is my word nothing?
Yeah, that's Avon. I thought, come on. I do want to get engaged. Well, get on the scale. Come on. You know,
that's hilarious. That's really good. That's a great comparison.
It is. And it's fair because I understand both sides of that. I
loved the fact that just for the sheer drama of it, that when she was, in the hallway talking to the producers, that Eric was watching all of this. Like, right. She was like, he said that. He said, I want to date you. And he's like 5 feet away. And she's like talking shit about him to this producer. And she's crying. And he's just sitting there watching like, I'm right here.
A piece of me feels like Grandpa John's going to show up and be like, chill, baby. Like, he's going to come over.
Like, not a big deal.
Come on, not a big deal. Just go, you know, go live together. Go figure it out. But that's how we ended. We come back with, we're coming back. They went into, I guess we have to acknowledge 20-minute overtime, which is for no reason.
I was thrown because I looked at the clock and it said like 9:55. And then Jesse was like, when we come back. And I'm like, what right. do you mean?
Yeah, get to the previews. We're done like, here.
When we come back, I don't know what we're doing when we come back.
Right. And what's going to be next week? You know, you start to wonder, you go, what is left to talk about?
Really? This
should be a segment on the news next week at 11. You know, 10 minutes with Gabby and Rachel, and then we'll just hear the ending. So let's do the weekly categories. Now it's time for this week's Would You Rathers, brought to you by the Kardashians. Go inside the lives of TV's most famous family as the romance business and glamour continues to rise. Despite the challenges and obstacles of life in the spotlight, there's one thing that Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie know for sure. They'll always be family. So let's break down the Bachelor Nation family with some Would You Rathers. You ready?
I'm ready.
So on the subject of the 20 extra minutes... Yeah. Extra time in the fantasy suite with someone who wants to dump you, or extra time of a show that doesn't need the extra time. So you're either Zach in that fantasy suite
or the audience
hanging in his undies.
Literally.
Or you're us watching an extra 20 minutes of this show that didn't really need it. What do you think?
Honestly, I personally wish this episode, which should have been 3 hours, just make it the 3 hours, finish it off, be done. I think I would rather have more time with the show, because I mean, I have been in the position so many times where I'm like, oh, I need this to end. The thought of being with someone that I am not into, it's the worst, because they really can't do and or say anything without annoying me.
Right. And you get annoyed, but not being into someone doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't mean you want to be a mean person. So you're like being as nice as you can. And they're like, and you're like, so, yeah, I got to wake up early tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, I'm just going to get some jam jams on. You're like, no, no,
don't
you're not.
Say jam jam.
And you can't. You're like, okay, I guess I'll just sleep in the corner of the bed like I'm the puppy dog. You know,
literally. Like, and you're making excuses to why, like, you don't want to cuddle. And you're like, right. Oh, I'm not really a cuddler. I get hot when I, like, it's just all of it's bad. If the
you
thought
wake
of
up
doing
at 6 a.m.,
is,
you're like, oh, I got to get to work. You go to work this early? Every Saturday, I get up at 6 a.m. ready for work. What did you get? Okay.
I said, would you rather get engaged to someone whose parents hate you, or get engaged to someone who you forced to propose?
Parents hate me. I'd rather be in a good marriage than a good family, I guess. Or a good marriage. Like, I guess if I was forced, I want to be in the good marriage first.
Yeah.
It all starts with that. I can figure out the family who doesn't like me. But putting someone in the position to force them to get engaged to me, we've already started on a bad note. Nothing can go well from there.
No. Yeah, I agree. I think I would rather have the family hate me than being with somebody that I sort of pressured into being here in general.
Yeah.
At least the person wants to be here,
right,
even if their parents don't.
Well, that's it for this week's Would You Rathers, brought to you by the Kardashians. People, you know the Kardashians. Are you a fan of the universe?
I mean,
universe,
of course,
Kay?
I've never been happier than to see you say all of their names at one time. I was like, this is...
I really rattled them off.
You Kris, did. I was like...
Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, Kylie. Yeah, it's it felt good
it.
To say. No wonder they're at the top of their game. So easily marketable. So, no, I mean, the family, I will say this. When I watched that show, That is a group of people who genuinely care about each other. And that's like the fun
of
the show.
Actually, though.
Yeah, they are.
I totally agree with that. They truly love each other.
Yeah. So everyone go watch The Kardashians. It's season 2 of The Kardashians, which premieres September 22nd, streaming only on Hulu. So let's play Fantasy Suite Hometown or Send Home. That's our newest game. You're going to send these people straight to one of the events. So it's either Fantasy Suite, Hometown, or you're sending them home to watch on TV. Now, here are the three choices. Tony, Grandpa John, Rachel's friends.
I would...
Who you send this Fantasy Suite? I know. Who you... Listen, I wrote this one, so I made this uncomfortable for both of us.
I would say we're...
This is easy for me.
I would do hometowns with Rachel's friends.
All right, we're already missing each other. Yeah.
I would send... Oh, fuck. I would send Tony home and then Grandpa John Fantasy Suite. Like, I don't know.
Wow. Wow. I knew it. This is the reason I wrote it. Kay wants to fuck Grandpa John. I knew it.
I didn't know that I knew it until this moment. I just realized it, I guess.
I mean, we differ, except for Tony. Tony's going home. His stare scares
home
the shit out of me.
Or home.
No. Get Tony out of my life. Tony, I'm sorry.
I sent Tony home.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on that one. That's okay. The one we agree on because
yeah.
Tony has, I don't know, he's always peering into people's souls. It looks like he's like angry at an Italian deli while they fuck up a sandwich. He just, I don't know. He just always looks like he's off. I'm sending Grandpa John to hometowns. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
What a great person. Fun at the table.
So you want a three-way.
He's making jokes. He's making dad, grandpa jokes. The friends, I'm taking a Fantasy Suites. They just look like they get wild. Like, they were chugging that champagne and asking tough questions. They got to be fun. I'm sure they're getting get a little nutty.
A great little three-way moment.
Right.
Honestly.
Well, it was funny the way they.
Okay?
What's that?
You're okay. I can't believe I took Grandpa John to Fantasy Suite. Am I okay? I need to read.
I think you're gonna be okay. Here's the thing about it was funny the dynamic between Rachel and the friends. Again, I hate to like beat a dead horse, but the immaturity issues when Rachel's girlfriend, I don't know what her name was, but the female friend, she said something. She was like, she goes, Avon says he's not sure about an engagement. And then she goes, don't freak out. And you're like, oh, that's how this dynamic works. You know, that's someone's little miss freak out. You know, so.
Don't panic because he's waiting for the waterworks.
Right. I mean, even Rachel, in that interview, Jesse goes, you look like you're on the verge of tears. And she goes, Jesse, I'm always on the verge of tears. It's like. That's not a healthy thing to tell someone. That is not like a thing to take pride in. You're not Bruce Banner at the end of Avengers.
I was gonna bring that up. He's like, that's the thing. I'm always angry. I'm so glad you referenced that. I was about to.
I literally, it's all I could think about. That's my secret. I'm always on the edge of an emotional breakdown.
But somebody said on Twitter, they were like, the Rachel's two friends caused more drama in their like 8 minutes on screen than Jesse Palmer, the producers, did this entire season.
Jesse tried his darndest and it was almost like everyone was coached up. He said to Avon at one point, he's like, so you go in saying you're going to get engaged. And then you leave the Fantasy Suite, you're not getting engaged. And then like, and you're like, you might have gotten him. Then Avon just like reversed it, was fine. It didn't phase him once. Yeah, those friends, what if they got brought back? They're like, well, okay, we're going to make you ask uncomfortable questions and chug champagne in front of a person.
On Nationals Live.
All right, top man for each.
I didn't even write one down because I saw yours.
So this is the top man for both Gabby and Rachel, and I wrote Here's Neil Lane.
Yeah.
Neil Lane, the guy who fucking sells him the ring. That's all they cared about.
I mean, that's the only option. I literally just put LOL Jarrett because I could, that was, it's Neil Lane. Wow.
That's all they want. Get me to Neil. IG Rising Stars, what do you think? I think it's going to be Gabby.
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars. She was giving mirror ball last night, like trophy.
Right.
The hair, the dress, like. I mean, she looked like she was getting ready. She had to tape Dancing with the Stars right after.
It did look like that. I didn't even think of that. I forgot she was cast on Dancing with the Stars. And I think it's going to, you know, everyone's like, Gabby's so funny. It's hard to be funny on this show. It's hard to be a personality on the show. It's hard to like show anything except for anger and sorrow. I think she's going to be put in a different, I think people are going to see her on Dancing with the Stars. That's what I agree with your, because I was like, I don't think anybody on this thing is really social media worthy, but I think we're going to, or worthy, whatever that fucking means. But the idea that I think Gabby definitely is going to get shown in a better light on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, I agree. What about you?
That's what you just said. Sorry, yeah, I just didn't have anything. Villain of the week, what do you think?
I said Gabby and Rachel. Man, the engagement temper tantrums really just sent me. I understand where they're coming from because this is the premise of the show. Like this is, it's like an unpromised promise, but I hated that.
It's not a good look because also, you know, lots of women get accused of their goal just being marriage. And you're, you know, especially Rachel, she's kind of like showing that in a kind of a whiny way. Again, I've said it a bunch on this episode. Just, I do understand. I think it comes from fear of embarrassment. She thinks that if she doesn't get this engagement, she'll be considered a loser, which I don't agree with, but I do think that's how she feels. But it didn't come off well. I said the villain was Jesse Palmer just for setting up this episode.
I can't believe that happened.
We were going to see something happen. I mean, he did it again for next week. He's like, it's going to change the lives of people. What are you going to send him on another Virgin cruise?
Right.
What the fuck is going to happen?
That is exactly what he said in that thing last week. He was like, our lives will be changed. What?
Right. Well, he did it the next week too. He said that there's going to be at home things that we can do. What? Send in our vote, you know, for who should, you know, get a Virgin cruise? What are you talking about here? I don't know.
God.
He fucked up. And I'm going to tell him next time I see that big old elm tree walking across the West Side Highway, I'm going to say something. Paradise picks. Who do you think is going to find love in paradise?
At this point, I don't think anybody. After a few seasons of the show, especially this season, it makes me feel as though I have lost faith in love on The Bachelor.
They got to change up the premise to be so much about engagement. It's just not how it works.
No.
And people are now aware. Here's the other thing. It's our fault, too. The audience gets mad when an engagement doesn't happen. They feel, and it's like I get slighted. Comments on my stuff. They go, they go, isn't this about getting an engagement? What the hell happened to the show? It's like, are you a human being? Like, what? They cannot get engaged. You can still have a watch this show and be entertained by it. Like,
and see who like wins.
Fault. Right. We follow these couples and, well, what's going on? People get in the DMs, people get in the mentions. So it's the audience's fault too.
I think they were set up for failure also. Just like with the amount of guys and the shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to get this. I think if they had the appropriate amount of time, it would have had a different outcome.
I think you're right. I think that's why we're getting so many of the same story. That's totally true. I said Paradise pick is the audience. I think people are ready just for Paradise.
I'm ready for Paradise. Man, those advertisements are weird, but like
I think people are just ready for a little bit of a switcheroo.
Switcheroo. Bring those old people back. Bring Lace back.
Yes. Cringe Harrison Award winner.
Zach saying that the fantasy suite was tough like so many, like 20 times in a row. That Rachel literally was just like, it's fine. It's fine. I get it. Like, right. Shut up.
In his robot voice, that was yes. tough.
You know, it was really tough. I just.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, David Putty is who I take after with my voice training.
Oh, my God. Somebody tweeted. My favorite. This is my favorite tweet of all time. I think it's because I'm a fan of the show. But they were like, it was a picture of Zach in the limo being stressed. And somebody said, Zach, when he realizes he should have gone on Claim to Fame instead of The Bachelorette.
I think you posted that. So, yeah. That would have been a better choice. No one would have. Well, they may have gotten it for The Voice.
Maybe.
I don't know. No one would guess.
No one would have guessed.
Patrick Warburton.
I didn't even know his name until like yesterday.
My cringe Harrison was Rachel. It was just cringy. The I want a ring. The whole Veruca Salt campaign she put on.
It was bad. And
who won this week?
I think me. Or like yes. us as an audience for sitting through all of this. And watching it,
right.
even though we weren't given what we were promised.
Absolutely. We got through it. It's like getting done with a workout. We finished it. It's in the past. We did it. I gave the rose to practicality. Avon spoke very practically about trying to date while moving towards an engagement without rushing an engagement.
Right.
And it seems like the audience, for the first time ever, landed on the side of practicality and not
right.
on the side of romance. For whatever reason, I guess Rachel might have something. The way Rachel presented romance didn't really connect. It seemed as though, you know, we hear the voice of the audience. It seemed as though people really were on.
They were on Avon's side for the first time. And I was actually surprised as well. I was really surprised that they felt that way.
And we're going to end with our new category, Speak On Next Week. Did you get anything? Did you garner anything from the preview of next week's episode?
Okay, so the previews of next week's episode sort of, I mean, it was mixed in last week. They mixed in this week's and next week's previews. And the whole, when Rachel was like, why didn't you say that before? The yelling at me like scenes. I thought those were going to be tonight with Avon or with Zach.
Uh-huh.
And when I was watching the episode, I was like, oh my God, she hasn't had this, you know, like this freak out moment yet.
Mm.
And I was like, holy shit, it's with Tino. And then we see Tino being like, there's no way this ends in or like something about an engagement. So I didn't realize all of this drama was going to be with Tino. Like I was not predicting that.
So maybe we're going to get the drama that we're promised. It did look like, you know, now that I think, you know, now that we've talked about it. And you talked about, you know, the Tino just kind of just looking to win.
Win.
You know, if and I think you're right. If Tino's goal is to win and Rachel's goal is to be engaged, and then Tino wins by kind of default, and then he doesn't have to get engaged, now you're sitting there going, okay, well, then Rachel could end up not getting what she wants, which is going to turn into her doing what she did with Avon. So that kind of seems like what it's all leading towards and based on those previews.
What if Tino finds out that he is the only one left by default and freaks out because the whole thing that he wants is to win, but
right.
I don't think he wants to win by default. I think he wants to beat them out. And the fact that he didn't, what if this temper tantrum is because of that? I mean, I have no idea.
Well, I think that's part of it too with the engagement. Like if he finds out he won, he's like, fuck it. I won. I don't have to get engaged. I'm cool. I'm the winner. I got what I wanted. You know? And then he's like, oh, you want to get engaged? Too bad for fucking you. I don't have to win. I don't have to do anything to win. I just have to stay here.
Do you think Rachel and Gabby are going to get engaged?
To one another? No.
That's the only option at this point.
Right. I think Gabby doesn't. I think Rachel does. And these, I don't know. I don't get into spoilers. These are my thoughts. I think Rachel wants it so much that and Tino wants, you know, I think Tino doesn't really have much of a a backbone for this stuff, and I think he'll give into it. And I think Gabby is more practical and will say, you know what, this is great. This is the guy I kind of want. You know, it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That might not be fair to Rachel, but.
I mean, I think Rachel ends up getting engaged too. I mean, that thing, she was like, we're getting ready to get engaged to the men of our dreams. And
hey.
And I think that's before they find everything out. That's like at the beginning of the next week's episode, but I guess we'll see.
Hey, Rachel, what is the man of your dreams build? Oh, you don't know? Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know what his job is?
Yeah. He builds
his
stuff.
His source of income.
Right. He builds everything. Everything. He's Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder. Has more of a chance, I think.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see next week.
All right. Yeah.
This is a lot of fun, Kay.
This is a good time. All right. Yeah. Next week, we'll be back and we'll recap the last fantasy suites, or not fantasy suites, but the finale and after the final rose. Make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and Twitter at Bachelor Pod. You can follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Freed.
All right. See you next week.
The Bachelor podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.